Shalom, welcome to ASJTF. This is Chaim ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha bat Shlomo, Pesach ben Dov, Meir ben Yecheskel, and Yosef ben Meir. Before we get to our many questions this week from our great JTFers, I want to speak to you about how our movement in Israel, Hayamin HaMiti, which means the real right, has become an issue in the upcoming January 22nd Israeli Knesset elections. On January 22nd, elections are going to be held for the Israeli Knesset, the Israeli parliament. And one of the parties in Israel, Otzma LeYisrael, has started a smear campaign against me personally. It's a very strange story, but I think you'll find that it's an interesting story. This is a party that represents what we call the phony right. They pose as right-wing, but they really aren't right-wing at all. In fact, we've shown you videos in Hebrew of one of their Knesset members, Michael Ben-Ari, who pretends to be a Kahanist, saying that Iran is not a threat to Israel, that the stupidest thing Israel could do would be to attack Iran's nuclear bomb-making program, and that we shouldn't be worrying about Iran. We've also shown you videos of their other Knesset member, Aryeh Eldad, saying that all the Jewish prisoners in Israel who went to prison fighting for the Jewish people, who went to prison trying to do something to help the Jewish people, and they're sitting in prison because of that, they should all die in prison. They should stay in prison for the rest of their lives, which is certainly not a Kahanist position. The Kahanist position is that all Jews who did what they did to help the Jewish people, to help save the Jewish people, should be released immediately from prison. Immediately, that it's a disgrace that they're put in prison in the first place. So these are individuals who are not Kahanists, that's for sure. They're not even real right-wingers. These are people that just want to have a seat in the Knesset and the power and the money that comes with sitting in the Knesset. And so they've never really been comfortable around us because we're idealists and we don't betray our principles and we're loyal to the Jews in the hilltop communities, we're loyal to the Jews who are sitting in prison. We're not like these individuals who betray and stab in the back everybody just to get ahead politically. In any event, about 6 or 7 years ago, one of the people involved in this party, Baruch Marzel, was someone that we supported. He ran for the Knesset twice. We strongly supported him. We wanted him to win. He did not get elected. And then all of a sudden, about 6 or 7 years ago, he started bad-mouthing me, and I don't know why. I don't know what I did, but he started saying terrible things about me. And he's been doing this for years. The main thing that he said about me is that I'm a liar when I say that I was expelled from Israel, that I could go on Aliyah anytime I want, and that I'm just a liar. I was never really expelled from Israel. This is what he's been going around saying about me. And of course, it's a terrible accusation. A terrible smear. That's a terrible thing to say about me. And he's been saying this all over the place. And of course, this undermines my campaign to reverse the decision of the Israeli government to keep me out of Israel. Because he's undercutting me and he's saying things that of course are intended to damage my campaign to get into Israel. Anyway, this past week, we started responding. We've done videos exposing this party because we're not going to be silent. I was silent and I didn't respond for years. For years I didn't respond to all of this because I didn't want to pick a fight with these people. But recently I've decided we can't be silent. We can't let them get away with this. We can't let them pretend they represent Kahanism, God forbid. Because the news media presents them as representing Kahanism, and they don't represent Kahanism. They represent a complete fraud, and they work with the establishment, and they're friends with the establishment, and friends with the left-wing news media, and friends with all the enemies of the good Jews in Israel. And we can't be silent while this hoax is being perpetrated upon right-wing Jews in Israel. We have to speak out because we represent the true Kahanist movement. And so we started doing videos explaining how we feel that these people are not worthy of support and should not be elected to the Knesset again. Two of them are already sitting in the Knesset. and they're running on this on this political party called Otzma LeYisrael, and they hope to get into the Knesset again, and they hope to even increase their representation. We're hoping to stop them from getting into the Knesset altogether. We'll see what happens in the election on January 22nd. But this past week, all of a sudden, Baruch Marzel and Michael Ben-Ari, two of the leaders of this party, sent their party members out all over Facebook, all over Hebrew Facebook, and they put up hundreds of posts accusing me of being a liar and saying that I was never really expelled from Israel, that I'm not expelled from Israel, that I could go on Aliyah anytime I want, and that this is all just a big lie. And they challenged me to produce documents to prove that I was really expelled from Israel, to prove that this is that what I'm saying is true about my being expelled from Israel. Well, of course, this was the dumbest thing they could have done, because obviously I have these documents. Maybe they thought I would proudly say, no, who are you to ask me to produce documents? I'm not going to produce these documents. I don't know what they thought. But it was very dumb for them to challenge me like this and to challenge me to produce documents to prove something which obviously I can prove. Obviously I do have these documents, and I showed the documents. The documents are on a sticky thread on our Hebrew forum. And we're going to do a Hebrew video in the next couple of days where I'm going to show the documents in the video as well. And I put the documents on our Facebook page and on my personal Facebook page, on my personal Facebook page under Chaim Ben Pesach, and on our Hebrew Facebook page. The documents are up there now. And this pretty much shut them up. They're not making accusations anymore. I think that this was pretty embarrassing to them. Since they did this to us, since they started smearing me and attacking me like this, some of the people in their party have come to me and have said, Chaim, we want you to know that we are embarrassed that they did this. This is terrible. We're sorry they did this to you. We know how much you've been through. You spent 5.5 years in prison because of your activities in the Jewish Defense League to free Soviet Jews. Then you spent another 12 years on probation, parole, or house arrest. After 17.5 years, because that's 5.5 years in prison plus 12 years under various forms of supervision, parole, probation, or house arrest, that's 17.5 years. After 17.5 years of this, you finally finished and completed all your sentences in 1996, and you went to Israel to go on Aliyah. And you were expelled from the country, and now for 17 years, you're not allowed to even step foot in Israel. And after all you've been through for well over 30 years now, instead of supporting you, instead of backing you up, instead of saying this is a terrible injustice and we want to help you, they're attacking you like this, they're smearing you like this. I mean, it's unbelievable. And I supported these guys. I don't know why they turned on me like this. I have no idea why Baruch Marzel turned on me like this, because I supported these guys. Maybe they thought that if I go to Israel, if I succeed in getting into Israel, that I'll be competition to them. I had no intention of being competition to them. I wanted to work together with them. If I had gone to Israel, I was going to work together with them, because I thought that they're Kahanists. They claimed to be Kahanists. I thought they were Kahanists. I wanted us all to work together. I have no idea why they decided to start doing this. I think that they feared that I would somehow take over, because I am older than they are, and I worked with Rabbi Kahana for a far longer period of time than they did. And I went to prison for 5.5 years. They don't have that in their background. They never made any sacrifices like that. So perhaps people in the Kahanist movement, someone who goes to prison, that's considered to be a plus. In the Kahanist movement, if you go to prison and you sacrificed for the Jewish people in Israel, that's considered to be a big plus. So maybe they were fearful that I would be a competitor to them and that I would take over the movement. But that was not my intention. My intention was that we all work together. But they believed what they wanted to believe, and they decided to attack me and smear me. And this week, they really went all out. This week, the campaign that they conducted before, because for years now they've been telling people, but everybody who visits them, they've been telling people this terrible thing about me, that I'm a liar and that I'm not really expelled from Israel. I mean, it's terrible. I mean, would I spend all my time day and night fighting for Israel? Doing Hebrew videos and fighting for Israel, raising money for Jews in Judea and Samaria, and doing all the other things I'm doing if I didn't want to go on Aliyah, if I wanted to live in America? Even what I'm doing in America is important for Israel. The things I did against Barack Hussein Obama. I mean, this was very important for Israel. I mean, it's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing to do this. And yes, I mean, I was genuinely hurt by this. That people who call themselves Kahanists would behave like this? It was terrible. I know that Rabbi Meir Kahana would never have tolerated this type of behavior. He would have thrown them out in 2 seconds and would have condemned them and would have been against them. And that would be the end of them calling themselves Kahanists. Rabbi Kahana would never have tolerated this type of behavior. But anyway, we've seen this type of pettiness. I guess it's part of human nature that they're going to be petty people. And these are people who are just basically, they're not Kahanists, these are politicians. They're interested in advancing themselves. In fact, they even, to get into the Knesset, they lied. They didn't lie. They actually told the truth because they actually said that they're not Kahanists. They actually said they don't agree with Rabbi Kahana or his philosophy. They actually said when they spoke to when they actually presented their candidacy, they actually said they don't agree with Rabbi Kahana. They don't agree with a program to encourage the Arabs to leave Israel. Baruch Marzel said that there are many good Arabs. That's what he said. There are many good Arabs? What, is he kidding? The whole Arab world is at war with the state of Israel for over 100 years to destroy the Jewish people and commit genocide? And there are many good ones? Are you joking? Now, where are all these good ones? Where were they? Why don't any of them ever speak out when there are wars and terrorism and attempts to exterminate the Jewish people if there's so many good ones? And when he makes a statement like that there are many good ones, that's leftist talk. Not only is he not a Kahanist, he's not a right winger. That's leftist talk. That's appeasement. Anyway, there are many other things that, you know, that I could discuss. I mean, Mikhail Ben-Ari praising Yitzhak Rabin, who murdered 16 Jews from the Irgun on the Altalena. 16 Jews who were Holocaust survivors. Yitzhak Rabin murdered them in cold blood in 1948. And Yitzhak Rabin was responsible for the Oslo agreements that brought 80,000 Muslim Nazi terrorists into the land of Israel, including the Arab Hitler Yasser Arafat. And Mikhail Ben-Ari, one of these people who calls himself a Kahanist and who's a member of the Knesset, actually says, Rabin Zichrono Livracha, which means may his memory be blessed, he wrote. He wrote repeatedly in a letter, Rabin Zichrono Livracha. That means Rabin's memory should be blessed. I mean, a Kahanist wouldn't bless the memory of someone who has Jewish blood on his hands. A Kahanist wouldn't bless the memory of someone who brought Yasser Arafat into the land of Israel and shook hands with him on the White House lawn with Bill Clinton watching over and handed over parts of the land of Israel to the PLO Nazi terrorists. A Kahanist would bless the memory of a traitor who did something like that. And I could go on and on in listing all of the things they've done. And so, you know, they always felt uncomfortable. I never understood it, but they always felt uncomfortable with me in the picture. Because they know that I would never do these things. They know that as much as I would love to be in the Knesset. I could do good things for the Jewish people. But I would never, just to get a seat in the Knesset, I would never betray my principles. I would never betray Jews that are sitting in prison and say they should die in prison the way Aryeh Eldad, who was number one on their Knesset list, has said. Aryeh Eldad is a member of the Knesset, and he's number one on the Knesset list. He said, the Jews who are in prison, who are convicted of so-called murder, in other words, Jews like Yigal Amir, Ami Popper, and other Jews who did what they did because they were trying to help the Jewish people out of love for the Jewish people. And again, I'm a law-abiding citizen. We're a law-abiding movement. We're not advocating doing anything illegal. We're not praising what they did. But whether you agree or disagree with what they did, they were motivated by love for the Jewish people. To say they should die in prison when Israel has released thousands of Muslim terrorists. Israel is constantly releasing thousands of Muslim terrorist mass murderers. And the Jews who are in prison for defending the Jewish people should die in prison, Aryeh Eldad says. You know why he said that? He said that because he wants to get in good with the news media. He wants the left-wing news media to like him. He wants to get interviews and he wants the left-wing news media to to be nice to him. And so he stabs good Jews in the back who were willing to sacrifice everything for the Jewish people. Who had been sitting, some of them have been sitting in prison for 30 years. And he stabs them in the back just so he could keep his Knesset seat. As much as I'd want to be in the Knesset if I were in Israel. No seat in the Knesset would be worth doing that. I would never betray good Jews who did things for the Jewish people. Never. And so, this week, they went on the attack against me. We put up the documents. We've proven that they are lying. We put up the documents proving I have a document that we put up from the Interior Ministry proving that I was expelled. Document from the Chief Rabbi of Israel, Yonah Metzger, who intervened on my behalf. A document from the Jerusalem Post with an article explaining what happened when I was expelled. And a document from the State Department, a letter written by the State Department to Senator Dianne Feinstein of California, explaining what happened to me. So we have official documents from the Israeli Interior Ministry, from the Chief Rabbi of Israel, from the Jerusalem Post as far as media coverage of what happened when I was expelled, and from the U.S. State Department, because they also explained to senators and congressmen what happened to me because I was an American citizen. I was mistreated as an American citizen, so the State Department actually did investigate what happened. And so we put all of these documents up on the Hebrew Forum and on our Hebrew Facebook page. Maybe we'll put them up on the English Forum also, if people want us to. We put all of these documents up, proving beyond any doubt that I certainly was and am expelled from Israel. Anyway, it's, you know, you could say that it's an unfortunate thing that we have this situation. Of course it is unfortunate. But this has led to a backlash against these people. And ironically, because they did this to me, this may be the thing that may prevent them from getting into the Knesset in the January 22nd elections. Because I know it's turned off some of their biggest supporters. Some of their most enthusiastic supporters have come to me now and have joined our Hebrew Forum now and have said, we're really turned off by this, Chaim. We don't like the way they treated you. We don't like what they said about you. This was just shocking to us that they did this. We didn't know that they would behave like this. We didn't know they would do something like this. So, you know, we've gotten very, very strong positive feedback and real backlash from them, a real backlash against them for doing this. And so I'm going to be putting up a Hebrew video in the next day or two. And I'm going to be saying to them that I want to give them a chance to publicly apologize. If they publicly apologize, I will forgive them. Even though they said terrible things about me, I will forgive them. And the reason I'll forgive them, even though some of our younger members on the Hebrew Forum aren't happy with that, they're saying, what do you mean forgive them? Look what they did to you. You should never forgive them. Well, I'm not like them. I'm not like them. I love my fellow Jews. And they are Jews. And they're fathers, they have families, they have children. I don't want anything bad to happen to them, even if they did say terrible things about me. I don't want anything bad to happen to my fellow Jews. I'm not going to support them for the Knesset. I don't think they're worthy of being elected to the Knesset. But I will forgive them as a Jew. I will forgive them if they publicly apologize. And I think that's important because what they're doing is a very serious sin. You don't go and smear somebody like that in public and make terrible false accusations against somebody. That's a serious sin. And I would hope they would know that. Because some of them at least claim to be religious Jews. Or one of them is not, Aryeh Eldad is not, but some of them, like Michael Ben-Ari, claim to be religious Jews. You know, this is certainly not the behavior of Jews who respect the Torah and believe in Judaism. You know, even if we have differences of opinion, I mean, I don't know what I did to cause them to start attacking me like this. For years now they've been attacking me. Now I'm responding to them and they're literally in a panic. They're literally hysterical because I'm the last thing they need right now because I'm attacking them from the right. That they don't want. I mean, they're used to getting attacked from the left. I'm attacking them from the right and I'm saying that they're phonies. And when someone who sat in prison and sacrificed what I've sacrificed says somebody's a phony, in Israeli politics, that burns, that hurts, that stings. And so They're in a panic over that. But they're the ones who created the situation. They're the ones who created the situation. They don't belong in the Knesset, and they should not be calling themselves Kahanists. Anyway, I'm still going to give them a chance to apologize. I'm still going to show good faith here, because they are my fellow Jews, and I want to give my fellow Jews every opportunity to change. If they will apologize sincerely and publicly, and if they will do that, I will forgive them. And that's important. That's very important, because I think they're facing a serious sin. I think this is a very serious sin on their record. If they continue to go forward like this. Anyway, just wanted you to know that we're an issue in the elections in Israel. We've become an issue in the Knesset elections in Israel now. These are the same guys, by the way, that appointed Uzi Zalka to be the main administrator on their forum. Uzi Zalka, who was a mental patient who was actually institutionalized several times in a mental asylum. And, okay, when they first made him administrator, they didn't know that. But he started praising Hitler and the Holocaust and saying, well, the Ashkenazi Jews, they deserve the Holocaust. Ashkenazi Jews, it's good that Hitler killed the Jews because they were Ashkenazi Jews and they deserve to have a Holocaust, and Hitler did a good job. He was putting up video saying this. So they basically said to him, don't do this anymore. So I was furious. That's another thing that caused tension here. I was furious. I said, that's all. I said, you're allowing him to continue to be your administrator? After he makes comments agreeing with Hitler and puts up videos agreeing with Hitler and the Holocaust? And you're allowing him to continue to be your administrator? I mean, I was furious. I said, if you do that, I said, it's war. I am going to do videos exposing you. I am going to attack you day and night. I said to them, this is intolerable. I said it would be intolerable on any forum, but on a Jewish forum and on a so-called Kahanist forum, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. Something that really happened, as incredible as it is. Anyway, this is an issue that we'll see how it gets resolved. I'll keep you updated on what's happening. And, of course, in the meantime, we're going to continue telling the truth and standing for the truth. At least the people of Israel know that there's one group that doesn't apologize and that doesn't compromise and that doesn't stab people in the back, and that's our group. And that's something people... You know, if there's one thing people criticize us about in Israel, there is one thing that we get criticized for. They say, you're too purist, or you're naive, you're too idealistic. You should be like the other cutthroat people. Well, we're not going to be like the other cutthroat people. We're going to be idealistic. And we're going to do what Hashem commands us to do. And we are going to act in an idealistic fashion. Because that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be a holy nation and a nation of priests and a light unto the nations. We're not supposed to be a bunch of cheap politicians. We're supposed to care about our brothers and sisters. That should be our first concern at all times. And so this is going to go on, and we're going to give them a chance to apologize. But if they don't, we're going to urge the voters of Israel. We're going to do videos, and we're going to urge the voters of Israel not to support them in the election. By the way, what they've said about me are all lies. That I was never expelled from Israel, that I can go to Israel whenever I want. I wish that were true. What they've said about me are all lies. When I do videos on them, everything I'm saying is true. I show clips of what they say in the video. Everything I say about them is true. They think that they have a right to spread lies about me, but I don't have a right to tell the truth about them. And so, you know, I've said to them that, you know, they want to lie about me. Then they should know that I'm going to tell the truth about them. And they don't want people to know the truth about them, because the truth about them is not pretty. Anyway, in the end, I want the people of Israel to know, and especially the young Jews in Judea and Samaria, to know that this cynical political attitude is not the right way to go. That idealism and purity of heart and true love of the Jewish people and true love of Torah, that is the way to go. And that we're not fools for being idealistic. We're not fools. Someday, we, the idealists, are going to be proven right. Anyway, wanted to share that with our great members, and I want to ask everybody to help us, because we had a pretty good week on our forum, actually. Ironically, because of this, people are coming to us. People actually, there was a big sympathetic backlash here, and people coming to us and saying, Chaim, this is terrible. People were stunned that this happened. And so we actually got a lot of new members, and there was a lot of action in the Hebrew movement because of this. This actually was a boost to our Hebrew movement that this was done. I would prefer, of course, to get boosts from something positive. I don't want to get boosts from this type of thing. But what can we do? There are some people who just feel a need to attack unjustly, and I'm going to defend myself if people do that. I am going to defend myself. I'm not going to stoop to their level. I'm not going to smear them. What I say about them will only be the truth. I'm not going to stoop to their level. But, you should see the way they cursed me and just unbelievable. I mean, I haven't stooped to that level. I'm not cursing them. I don't curse them. They have children. They have families. I don't want to curse Jews who have children and families. I mean, I won't stoop to that level. In any event, let's hope this is resolved in a good way. We actually got a lot of new members because of this, and there was a lot of action on the Hebrew forum because of this. But we are going to tell the truth, and we are going to expose this, and we're going to make sure that the people of Israel know the truth. And I believe that by standing for the truth and by not compromising, I believe that we are educating people and waking people up. I think that's very important what we're doing, and I think we will affect the election. I think the phony politicians are going to learn a lesson from this. If they're defeated in the election because of this, it will teach a lesson to people not to do this and not to betray principles and not to pretend that you're something that you're not. I think it will teach a very important lesson here. But in the meantime, you can help us bring the truth to the people of Israel. You can help us show the people of Israel that those who say, like we do, that you cannot give up any land, that it is absolutely forbidden to expel any Jews, that Iran and its nuclear program must be destroyed, that Iran's nuclear bomb-making program must be militarily destroyed by the Israeli Air Force, that Israel should not give in to Obama's pressure. If you believe in those principles, which is something this party, by the way, that I've been speaking to you about, they have sold out on every one of these issues, and so it's important that we stand up and prevent them from claiming to represent the right on these issues. They don't. We do, and we're not going to allow this sellout to go forward. And we're going to stand up for the truth, and we need your help to make sure that those who stand for the uncompromising truth win out in the end. And so, please help us when we put up English and Hebrew videos. We need your help to promote them. Even if you don't speak Hebrew, help us promote our videos in Hebrew and in English, both on YouTube and on Facebook. And we need your help with the forums, to keep the forums places where people will want to be active, where people will find it an inviting place to become active and become involved. We've had hundreds of new members in the past couple of weeks. Hundreds of new people have joined both forums, both the English and the Hebrew forums. And so we have a real opportunity here to try to get those people active and try to get those people involved. I think on the English forum, the main reason they joined was because of the video we did about Obama not really winning the election because of voter fraud. That video, which has over 18,000 views, that video alone brought us over 200 new members. And so what we're doing, we're still, and so what we're doing is we're waking people up and we're bringing the truth to people, and that's very important. Help us with that. Help us keep the forums interesting and exciting and active. Posting on the forums and helping on the forums, it's very important. Helping on our Facebook pages so we can continue to expand. Our Facebook pages are growing every day. New people are joining our Facebook pages. Help us and be active on the English and Hebrew Facebook pages. Help us, and of course, most importantly, we need your financial help. You know, one thing I saw with this party that started attacking me for no reason, they have so much money because they're members of the Knesset. They get financing. When you're a member of the Knesset, you get financing from the taxpayers. What a corrupt system they have in Israel. They have a huge budget. They had this huge budget, and we don't have a huge budget. And yet we still are holding our own, and we're still beating them in this debate. Even though, you know, we're heavily outgunned. Heavily outgunned. I mean, they get a budget. I mean, they get, I don't know how much it is, but I think it's like $1 million a year budget or something like that. I mean, they get a really big budget. And, you know, from the Knesset, they're two Knesset members, so that you have to double that, plus all the other money they're able to raise by being members of the Knesset. So, I mean, you know, they have a budget that's much larger than what we have. I mean, but in terms of what we have, that's big. And yet, with the limited resources, I think we're reaching quite a few people. Look, we're at the point where politicians who are members of the Knesset panic when we say something, if we criticize or if we say, hey, what are you talking about here? They respond immediately to us. I mean, we've come to that point. So, I mean, we're taken pretty seriously. I mean, we're an issue now in their political campaign. And with our very limited budget, that's quite an accomplishment. And that's good, because we want to keep people's feet to the fire. We want them to know that on these issues there can't be any compromise or sellout. Anyway, we need your help financially. The great JTFers who've been helping us on a regular basis, we need your help now more than ever. The great JTFers who, with their credit cards, go to the JTF.org main page, our English main page. There's a donate button on top. Click on the donate button within a couple of minutes. You can make a donation. It's very convenient. It's a great way to do it. We have people who are doing that on a regular basis. God bless you. People can do that on the JTF.org English main page, or they could do it on the Hayamin.org Hebrew main page. It's very easy and convenient. There's a donate button in English on both pages. Secondly, of course, we have great JTFers who are helping us with checks, money orders, and cash donations by sending it through the regular mail to our post office box. Very, very helpful. Very helpful. Every donation makes a big difference. And, you know, if the election turns out the way we want it to, and if the politicians who've been attacking us are defeated, I think it's going to send quite a signal that they have to pay attention to what the true Kahanas are saying. That's what the message here is going to be. They're going to have to pay attention to us, and they're going to have to take us seriously when we say that the land of Israel belongs to the Jewish people, and that they have to support the building of Jewish communities in the land of Israel, and the positions that we're taking on these issues. They're going to have to take it more seriously. And they're taking it seriously in the election, but we want them to take it seriously after the election too. And if these guys are defeated, I think it's going to give us more of a say. To a certain degree in what goes on, and that's good for waking people up. Anyway, just wanted you to know that there's been loads of action in Israel, as you can see, loads of action. There hasn't been a single dull moment. And we're going to step up our campaign with our videos in Hebrew and in English, and continue to try to wake the Jewish people up and bring the truth to the Jewish people. Now let's get to our... I know I took a long time here this week because I wanted to explain this to our great members. But anyway, now let's get to our questions from our great JTFers. And we start out with Say No to Islam. The great Say No to Islam writes, and I quote, 1. Debunk Nazi claim that communists were Jews who murdered Slavs, unquote. Well, you know, of course, this is the type of absurdity that you know, they could repeat from now until doomsday. 99% of the communists in Russia obviously were not Jews, because the Jews were less than 1% of the population. So obviously the majority of the people in the Soviet Union did support communism. They did. There was a period of time where most of the people in the Soviet Union did support communism. Obviously, they weren't Jews. Most of them weren't Jews. The Jews are less than 1% of the population. And the claim that the Jews slaughtered Slavs, you know, this is so absurd, so laughable, so utterly laughable. You mean Lenin was there are some people who say that Lenin was a Jew, which is nonsense. Lenin was not a Jew. Stalin was certainly not a Jew. Khrushchev was not a Jew. Brezhnev was not a Jew. None of these guys were Jewish. I mean, this is just absurdity. But these evil people, of course, are going to be punished by God because they're enemies of God's people. And now, Say No to Islam writes too. Why does David Duke try to promote Islam among his fellow Nazis? Is he insane? Unquote. Well, David Duke is a Nazi, of course, and the reason he supports Islam is not because he believes in Islam. He knows that it's an insane religion. He knows it's nonsensical. But he promotes Islam because Islam is anti-Semitic. The only thing David Duke cares about is fighting the Jews and trying to destroy the Jewish people. That is, he is obsessed with hatred for the Jewish people. That's what the Nazis are. The Nazis are obsessed with destroying the Jewish people. That's all they care about. That's why the Nazis are so pro-Muslim. David Duke and other Nazis support the Muslims because the Muslims are anti-Jewish. That's all they care about. They let everybody else get killed and slaughtered and enslaved, and they don't care what happens, as long as the Jews get it, as long as the Jews are killed, God forbid. That's all they care about. And so David Duke will betray everybody and everything just to get at the Jews. I think that that's madness, but what can I say? I mean, obviously it's madness. Obviously it's unbelievable insanity. But this is what Nazis have always been all about. Anyway, thank you, Say No to Islam. And now we go to Chewbacca, who writes, and I quote, "What is the Orthodox Torah Jewish view of tattoos and piercings more than the two on women for earrings?" Unquote. Jews are not allowed to have tattoos or any body piercings. They're not allowed to. A woman is allowed to pierce her ears for earrings, but other than that, Jews are not permitted to get tattoos and they're not permitted to have piercing. That's the Orthodox Jewish view. Anyway, thank you, Chewbacca. And now we go to the great Yimach Shmo to Obama, who writes, and I quote, "Was the recent earthquake in Japan a wake-up call from God to warn the Japanese people to stop giving Iran nuclear fuel rods?" Unquote. Absolutely. Absolutely. Whenever there's an earthquake, whenever there's a tragedy like this, there's a reason. And, you know, it's very interesting. The earthquake that caused so much death and destruction in Japan, that horrific earthquake, happened about a week after Japan announced that they were going to sell nuclear fuel rods to Iran. And about a week later, look what happened to their nuclear fuel rods. So of course it's a wake-up call. Of course it's a warning. We'll see if they're willing to take the warning. I don't think so. I don't think they're paying any attention to the warning. But of course it's a warning. No question about that. Anyway, thank you, Yimach Shmo, to Obama. And now we go to the great Brennan fan, who writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim. Please provide a Jewish commentary on Deuteronomy 25:11-12. Perhaps the strangest commandment in all of Scripture. Thank you." Unquote. Deuteronomy 25:11-12. Oh, I got to look it up first. Well, let me open up a window here. Deuteronomy is Devarim. I have to look it up in Hebrew because the English translations, who knows? So I have to look it up in the original Hebrew. It's Devarim Kaf Hey Yud Aleph. Okay, here it is. "Ki yinatsu anashim yachtav ish ve'achiv ve'karva eshet ha'echad lehatzil et isha miyad makehu ve'shalcha yada ve'hechzika Bimvushav vekatzota et kapa lo tachos einecha. Okay. That's the Hebrew, and what it means is, okay, I see which commandment you're referring to here. This is the commandment where if two men are fighting and the wife of one of the men intervenes to try to help her husband by grabbing the private parts of the second man, of the man that's fighting with her husband, it says you're supposed to cut her hand, and you're supposed to cut her hand in order to punish her for doing this. I understand now why you're asking about this. It doesn't literally mean cut her hand, God forbid. In Judaism, you don't do that. We don't have punishments like that in Judaism. When it says cut the hand, that's an expression in Hebrew. That means stop somebody from this behavior, deter them from this behavior. And the punishment that's imposed is a fine. The punishment is that she has to compensate the person whose private parts she grabbed. Because even if her husband is fighting with someone, the two of them are fighting, it's not appropriate, unless there's a threat to her husband's life, it's not appropriate for her to actually grab the private parts of another man. She should not do that because, number one, in this case, they're referring to something in which she actually injured the man. You can injure somebody by grabbing somebody's private parts. Number one, you can hurt them physically and injure them, and a woman should not do that. Secondly, it's very embarrassing to the man that she's grabbing his private parts. So you have the physical injury, and then you have the injury of him having been embarrassed. So she should compensate him, according to this commandment, for that. Now, what's the purpose of this? I mean, how often are we going to be in a situation where two men are fighting and the wife of one of the men comes and grabs the private parts of one of the guy who's fighting with her husband? I mean, how often is this going to occur? This is obviously an extremely rare occurrence. So the purpose of this commandment is to tell us something, to teach us something about how important it is that certain things be respected, how important it is that there be respectful behavior and appropriate behavior. That's the purpose of this. But if a woman actually, in a very rare instance like this, does do something like this, then she has to financially compensate them. That's what the meaning is. We don't cut people's hands off in Judaism. This is not Islam, God forbid. And none of these commandments have any power or meaning if we don't look at the oral law to explain what the commandments really are saying. And so there's no question. I mean, if you read Rashi and the other great commentators, you see that there's no question that this is referring to financial compensation. Again, this is very rare that this type of situation would arise. So the real purpose of this commandment is to explain to the Jewish people and to explain to the world in general about how important it is that there be respect in a situation, of course, two men shouldn't be physically fighting to begin with, and we should try to avoid situations like that. But if that does happen, how do you appropriately respond in a situation like this? You don't by really severely injuring, by grabbing someone's private parts, or humiliating, or severely humiliating someone. And that's basically the moral of the story here. As long as there's no threat to someone's life. If there's a threat to someone's life, then obviously permitted to do whatever you have to do to save a life. But in this case, it's understood that it wasn't a threat to life. It's just there was a physical confrontation here, and the wife of one of the men decides to do what she does, and it's considered to be inappropriate, so she has to compensate for it. I hope that answers the question, Brennan fan. And now we go to the great Meir Kat, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, what are your thoughts on Stalin joining Tzipi Livni's political party, unquote. Okay, Meir Kat is referring to Amir Peretz. Amir Peretz was the head of the Histadrut. He was also the former defense minister of Israel, actually, for a time. What an embarrassment that was. And he was the head of the Labor Party, and now he's left the Labor Party and he's joined Tzipi Livni's new political party. The reason that Meir Kat calls him Stalin is because he has a mustache and a haircut and he tries to look exactly like Stalin. I mean, he wants that Stalin look. If you look for a picture of Amir Peretz, you'll see that he literally tries to look like Stalin and succeeds to a certain degree. What do I think of him joining Tzipi Livni's political party? I think that, you know, these politicians are so evil, so vile, so evil. I mean, these are left-wing politicians who have betrayed the Jewish people completely and have no morals and no loyalty to the state of Israel, to the people of Israel. So, you know, whatever party he's in, I don't think it's going to make a big difference politically one way or the other. I don't think it's going to make a very big difference. I think Netanyahu is going to win the election, and I don't think that's good for the Jewish people. I think Netanyahu is a terrible prime minister, but he's going to win the election, and it's not going to make a difference if this guy joins Tzipi Livni's party or this other party. It's not going to make a difference in the end. In fact, the polls show that electorally it didn't. When he jumped ship and joined Tzipi Livni's party, when he left the Labor Party and joined her new party, it didn't make a big difference. It didn't affect the political situation in Israel in any meaningful way, according to the polls. Anyway, thank you, Meir Katz. And now we go to the great Baltimore, who writes, and I quote, "Please tell the story of Matityahu and the Hellenistic Jew and relate it to today's state of affairs. Thanks," unquote. Okay, great question. Matityahu saw, well, first let me start off with the background here. The ancient Greeks came into Israel and had taken over Israel and were occupying Israel. And they ordered the Jews to give up the main elements of Judaism, of Torah Judaism. They weren't against Torah Judaism if you want to study it in the university as a theory, but to actually practice the commandments and practice what the Torah stands for, they were against that. They didn't want the Jews to do that. They wanted the Jews to accept the idolatrous Hellenistic religion that they and culture that they represented. And so the ancient Greeks went around with soldiers, and they would grab Jews in the street, and they would tell Jews, sacrifice pigs, to start sacrificing pigs to their gods. They'd go around with altars. They'd have an altar in the street, and they would tell Jews to sacrifice pigs to their gods. There was a Jew, a Hellenist Jewish trader, who wanted to do this, who actually came and wanted to volunteer to do this because some of the Jews were very impressed with the Greek Hellenistic philosophy and culture, and so they wanted to do this. And so this Hellenist Jewish trader wanted to sacrifice a pig to show his loyalty to the idolatrous Greek occupiers of Israel. And so Matityahu took out his sword and killed this traitor. He killed him. And then they attacked the Greeks as well, who were there, who were trying to force the Jews and encourage the Jews to engage in this idolatry. Greek culture was being imposed upon the Jews against their will. And, you know, and we have a very similar situation today because a lot of Western culture is really Greek culture. The not the good parts of Western culture, the bad parts. For instance, even some of the words like sport. Where does the word sport come from? It comes from the word Sparta. Sparta was a city-state in ancient Greece, and that's where the word sport comes from. Now, in Judaism, athletics are encouraged. Exercise and athletics because it's good for the body. Harambam, Maimonides, says that we're supposed to exercise because it's good for the body. In Hebrew, it's called hitamlut. And Harambam speaks about hitamlut and about the importance of exercise. He says it's very important to exercise. But sport should only be for health reasons and because it's good for the body. That's why people should engage in sports. If anyone engages in sports because they turn it into like a way of life and worship sports and do what some people do where they become fanatics about it and start worshiping basketball players and football players and even violent sports, that is the type of culture that the Jews rebelled against. That is not appropriate. That's worshiping the body. The Greeks believed in worshiping the body. The Jews, first of all, only worship God. And secondly, the Jews are not, you have some cultures that only are interested in the spiritual. They have no interest in the body. That's why they're always fasting and they live like monks and they and they go into a desert and they live all by themselves because they're only interested in the spiritual. They have no interest in their body. And they'll even do harmful things to their body because they're just interested in the spiritual. Their body doesn't interest them. And then you have the opposite culture, like this Greek cult, the ancient Greek culture, where they were only interested in the body. They had no interest in spiritual things, only the body. They glorified the body, they worshiped the body, they did statues of the body. That's all they were interested in. In Judaism, we have interest in both the body and the spirit. The body has to be kept healthy. We don't worship the body. But the body should be kept healthy so that we could make this a better world and do good things and be good people and perform God's will. In order to do that, we have to be healthy and we have to have strong, healthy bodies. And so it's important to maintain our health. And so Judaism is in favor of healthy bodies and of maintaining a good, healthy physical condition. At the same time, Judaism is also a spiritual religion. So Judaism takes both. And the Greeks didn't like that. The Greeks wanted only the body. And so the Greeks tried to suppress the Jews. Matityahu and the Maccabees rebelled against the Greeks, against all odds. This was a small band of basically yeshiva students. They weren't trained soldiers. They didn't know how to fight. They didn't have weapons. They had nothing. They had very few weapons. It was a joke. And they went up against a Greek empire that conquered a huge segment of the world. I mean, a huge Greek empire. And this band of Jews, who were basically yeshiva students, decided to take on this Greek empire against all odds. And of course, it was a great miracle. They wound up defeating the Greeks, even though they were overwhelmingly outnumbered. They wound up defeating the Greeks. Not only were they overwhelmingly outnumbered, the Greeks had the tanks. They had tanks, the tanks of those days. What tanks? Elephants. The Greeks would fight on elephants were like the tanks of those days. If you had an elephant, that's like having a tank. And the Jews didn't have that. And so they had to fight against thousands of soldiers with elephants and with the most advanced weaponry from this giant Greek empire. It was and not only that, most of their fellow Jews were against them. Most of their fellow Jews had become Hellenists, had become assimilated Hellenists. That was incredible, that victory that they won. An incredible miracle. That's the story of Hanukkah. And it's also the struggle that we have with self-hating Jews to this very day. We have a struggle with self-hating Jews. And we have to defeat the self-hating Jews in order to preserve the Torah and truth and Judaism. Anyway, thank you very much, Baltimore. And now we go to the great Kahana Loyalist. We missed you, Kahana Loyalist. It's good to see you again. Kahana Loyalist writes, and I quote, "Dear Chaim, I have been going through some very hard times. Could you remember me in your tefillot?" Unquote. Absolutely, Kahana Loyalist. Absolutely. I'm sorry to hear that you've been going through very hard times. I will certainly pray for you. Shakadosh Baruch Hu yishmor alecha. Shakadosh Baruch Hu yevarech otcha. Shakadosh Baruch Hu yagen alecha. What I just said now was that the Blessed One, meaning God, should protect you and bless you and guard over you. And I certainly will, in my prayers, I certainly will remember to think about your situation, Kahana Loyalist, and to ask God to help you. Absolutely. Absolutely, Kahana Loyalist. I'm sorry to hear that. And now, Kahana Loyalist writes, and I quote, "Also, what is your opinion of Rav Yitzchak Ginsburg?" Unquote. I think he's a good Jew. I think he's a good and courageous Jew. And he's done a lot of courageous things, and I respect and admire him. He's a Chabad rabbi in Israel, made Aliyah. And I think he's in Yitzhar now. I think he's heads of yeshiva in Yitzhar. He says many courageous things about the Arab Nazi enemy of Israel. Very courageous leader. I wish all rabbis would like him. I respect him. I have great respect for him. I think he's a very good Jew. Anyway, thank you, Kahana Loyalist. And now we go to the great LKZ, who writes, and I quote, "Shalom. Prophecy on America's destiny. When you said America was finished if Obama's reelected, was that serious? All right, let's start with that, unquote. I do think that this was a devastating blow to America's future when Obama was reelected. I'm hoping, LKZ, I'm hoping that maybe, if there's a big backlash against Obama's failed policies, maybe we still have a chance. But I think the odds really did turn against us saving America when Obama was reelected. So I do think that was serious. Yeah, I think the odds now are not in America's favor anymore. If the American people are going to do this, and if he's going to be able to get elected and reelected and pursue these horrible policies, these are policies that will be very destructive to the United States. Absolutely. I think America is going down the road of self-destruction right now. And I don't think that's an exaggeration. I really believe that. Again, you know, I try to be the eternal optimist. And so, again, I'm hoping that I do think his policies are going to fail. And so I'm hoping that failure will generate and will trigger a massive backlash. That's the last hope for America. Maybe that will save America, will give America one last shot at being saved if the American people wake up because of his failed policies and because of a backlash. We'll see. We'll see. And now LKZ writes, "Who knew do you want to run in Israel?" Unquote. There are some people, if I mention names of people, I don't think anybody on our forum would know who they are. But there are people in Israel that I would love to see run. Some of them don't want to run. Some of them don't believe in the Knesset. but I wish they would run. People like Noam Federman, for instance, who's a wonderful Jewish hero. There are people who I'd like to see run. And people like, I was asked before about Rabbi Ginsburg by Kahana Loyalist. Rabbi Ginsburg is another great person. There are people who certainly could make great, honest leaders, and I'd love to see them run. It's unfortunate, though, that politics is usually controlled by the worst people. Usually the worst people get into politics. And that's something that, you know, the world can't afford. We can't afford to be led by evil people and opportunistic people, but that's usually what happens in politics. So let's hope that changes, and we're going to try to encourage that change. We're going to do everything we can to encourage that change. Anyway, thank you so much, LKZ. And now we go to the great Dr. Dan, the voice of reason, common sense, and logic, who writes, and I quote, "Give us a memorable experience with Rabbi Meir Kahana," unquote. Dr. Dan always comes up with the best questions and the best comments. All of our JTFers come up with great questions and great comments, but Dr. Dan really always hits the ball out of the park. I remember when Egyptian dictator Anwar el-Sadat, Yimach Shmo v'Zichro, went to Jerusalem and pretended that he was for peace. He was saying in English peace, and in Arabic he was openly saying that this is just a trick to destroy the Jews. And no one, the Jewish people, wanted so badly to believe that Sadat and the Egyptians were making peace with him. Nobody wanted to hear about that. Nobody wanted to know. Everybody welcomed Sadat, except for Rabbi Kahana. Rabbi Kahana, from the beginning, said that this is a lie, this is not true, and it's going to be a disaster. And it was very unpopular. It was very unpopular. And people said to him, "Rabbi, you're going to lose out on this." And he said, "What do you mean lose out?" He said, I remember him saying at the time, "What's the point? What's the point of everything I'm doing if it's not to help the Jewish people? I don't care if I'm, you think I care if I'm popular when it comes to the survival of the Jewish people compared to the survival of the Jewish people?" And he loyally and truthfully stood for the truth and exposed the truth. I remember he came here. We held the demonstrations. We held a demonstration at the Egyptian mission to the United Nations. We held rallies. I went with the rabbi around the country speaking with him about this against the retreat from the Sinai. I think you might have seen a picture of me with Rabbi Kahana in that at that time in 1977, there's a picture on the internet of me sitting next to Rabbi Kahana at a press conference. Rabbi Kahana appointed me to be the head of this new Jewish organization that was going to fight against the surrender of the Sinai and against this insane decision to give Egypt everything in exchange for a piece of paper. Rabbi Kahana was right and was courageous and was truthful, and it was just so inspiring working with him and dealing with him on this issue and on every other issue. I just remembered this earlier today. I mean, I just remembered how it was when we had a rabbi and a leader like this, who was an orator and a statesman and a great rabbinic scholar and just a fantastic human being. I mean, he had everything going for him. He was everything the Jewish people needed in a leader. What a shame that the Jewish people didn't understand that. What a shame. Anyway, hopefully we'll be able to continue his legacy, and someday, what he stood for, someday, people who believe in what he stood for will be running Israel. That day will yet come. Anyway, thank you so much, Dr. Dan. And now we go to the great Tag Mechir Tzedek, who writes, and I quote, "What halachic jurisdiction is there to prohibit marijuana? Not about using it, but about prohibiting it for others," unquote. Okay. Well, you know, Tag Mechir, I answered the question about using last week. Now you're asking whether we're allowed to have it for others. Obviously, from my answers from last week, you're not allowed to have it. You're not allowed to have your fellow Jews or your fellow human beings take in substances that are harmful to them, that are going to endanger their health, that are going to lead, in some cases, to addiction to harder drugs, that in the case of Jews who are supposed to be studying Torah, this leads to Jews not having a clear mind so they could study Torah and think about Torah. It also leads to people getting used to, as I mentioned last week, it leads to people getting used to decadent behavior. When you smoke pot, you sit around smoking joints, it leads to other type of decadent behavior. It could lead to other decadent behavior in terms of using other types of drugs. It could lead to decadent behavior in terms of what people eat. You know, people who smoke marijuana get very hungry and they eat all these terrible foods and sometimes gain a lot of weight. I mean, marijuana is very unhealthy in many ways. It also can lead to decadent sexual behavior and gambling and other sinful behavior. Because once you go down this path of saying, oh, this is okay, and not being concerned about the moral implications of this, it leads to lax morals in every area and makes people addicted to the concept of, I just want what makes me feel good for the moment. That's very bad for someone's personal discipline. It's very bad for someone's life. And we don't want, and we do not only have a right, but an obligation to prohibit substances that distort and destroy people's lives like this. We have a right to prohibit those substances. Halachically, we're not allowed to allow people to destroy their lives. Halachically, we're supposed to forbid people from destroying their lives. We are our brother's keeper. Our brothers are our responsibility. We have to love our brothers the way we love ourselves. With the same concern we have for ourselves and our own future, we have to have for our brothers. So, of course, we prohibit others from doing things that will destroy their lives. And now Tag Mechir writes, and I quote, "Two, Yom Ha'atzma'ut, celebrate or not?" Okay, Yom Ha'atzma'ut is Israel's Independence Day. I believe we should celebrate it. Absolutely. Absolutely. The Israeli government is evil, but the state of Israel is holy. The resurrection of the state of Israel in 1948, that's the beginning of the final redemption. Absolutely we celebrate that. Absolutely. Anyway, thank you so much, Tag Mechir. And now we go to the great Corey Deserved It, who writes, and I quote, "Response to people who compare our criticism to the Hadith Quran to that of anti-Semites who distort the Talmud for their agenda, John." Okay, John. great question. The difference is that the Talmud is a wonderful, beautiful, loving, magnificent commentary and explanation of the Jewish oral law. That's what the Talmud is, by the way. It's a Jewish oral law. The Mishnah is we have the written law. The written law are the five first books of the Bible, the Torah. That's the written law. That's Torah Shebichtav in Hebrew, which means the written law. Torah Shebe'al Peh, which is the oral law, is the Mishnah. That's called the Mishnah. And the Talmud is the explanation and commentary of all of that, on all of that, explaining to us what it all means. And it's brilliant. It's magnificent. It's brilliant. It is so deep and so wonderful. To compare that to the filth of the Quran and the Hadith, these hideous, murderous Nazi books. Look at the results, by the way. Look at the difference between the Jewish people, a tiny people that have accomplished so much good for the world, as opposed to the Muslims, who are a gigantic people, 1.5 billion people who accomplish nothing but evil and terrorism and war and problems everywhere they go. Look at the difference. Look at the results. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. Look at the results. Anyway, you couldn't have two. To say we're not allowed to criticize the Hadith and the Quran because other people then will start criticizing the Talmud and say, well, what about the Talmud? What about the Talmud? The Talmud is a beautiful, magnificent, brilliant book written by geniuses who were the most moral, magnificent, upstanding spiritual leaders in history. And to compare that to the filth of this hideous, terrorist, genocidal, vicious, woman-hating, raping, bloody book called the Quran and the Hadith, and in the Hadith, it's absurd. There is no comparison. Anyway, thank you, John. And now we go to the great EB22, who writes, and I quote, "Please discuss your thoughts about the massive shooting tragedy in Connecticut this past Friday," unquote. EB, once again, you read my mind. EB always does that. I just did a video on it, and we need Shlomo to help with the pictures and everything, because we're going to be putting pictures in the video. But we just did a video about the issue that's being used as a result of this terrible tragedy, and it is a horrific tragedy, and that is the attempt by people to exploit this in order to impose more anti-gun laws, in order to strip away the Second Amendment and destroy the Second Amendment to the Constitution, which is the worst thing you could do. That's the worst response to this. We have too many anti-gun laws in this country. America is safer when law-abiding citizens can protect themselves. America is safer. Because the criminals and lunatics like this maniac in Connecticut, they will always have access to weapons. They could get it on the black market. There are millions and millions of illegal guns, of hot guns on the black market. I mean, you could always get hot firearms if you're willing to pay. You got to pay even if you want to buy legal firearms. So obviously somebody who could buy a legal firearm could also buy an illegal one on the black market. So the answer here is not to leave law-abiding citizens defenseless. We're going to have a video out on this, EB. You'll see what we say about it and what we think the solution is. I mean, obviously this is an example of the type of moral decline that we have in this country. And if we don't get back to morals, and we don't get back to being a moral society and a decent society, and teach people to love, and teach people to care about each other, and have strong family units again, if we don't do that, then this is the result. This is what's going to be happening. The answer is not to take people's firearms away and the right of law-abiding, decent citizens to defend themselves. The answer is to once again, institute a program of teaching people morals and values. That's the answer. Anyway, thank you, EB. Great question. And again, a video, God willing, will be coming out on this in the near future. I already recorded the video. We just got to have pictures applied to the video. And now we go to the great Maimonides, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, can you please tell us your thoughts on Harav Meir Kahana Zatzal's plan for a state of Judea, unquote. Absolutely. Rabbi Kahana wanted to say that if you're going to give up Judea and Samaria, no problem, we'll create our own. Instead of doing that, let us have our own independent state of Judea. So he wanted to create the independent state of Judea. And he said, if we have an independent state in Judea and Samaria with a religious majority and where you have idealistic religious Jews running things, according to Jewish law, it'll be a model. And the people of Israel eventually would see this and they would want to emulate this. Of course, the state of Judea would have a very, very a very, very pro-Israel policy. The state of Judea, of course, would be, the intent would be to save all the entire Jewish people. And the people in the state of Israel, in the pre-67 borders, they would eventually see this and they would eventually be attracted. More and more of them would be attracted to this concept because they would see by example how great things could be if Jews lived by Jewish values and by Jewish laws. And so he wanted to create this example, set this example. And so he proposed creating the state of Judea. He knew that the Israeli authorities weren't going to allow him to actually set this up officially or formally, but he wanted to put into place the idea for this in order to get the people of Israel thinking again, in order to wake the people of Israel up and have them think about what type of country, what type of society Israel could build. If only Israel was willing to return to Jewish, to true Jewish roots, to the true roots of Torah Judaism. Anyway, thank you so much, Maimonides. And I want to thank all of our great JTFers for another important program. Until next week, Shalom.